Yeah, what up, what up? It's your boy Dave Noodles. We are on the Type 88 show. Today we got a special guest. This woman has an amazing story to tell, how she traveled the whole country to find a new home. And this woman is, she defines outside the box. And you're gonna learn more about that. You're gonna see why. And she's just been killing it. And I'm just making her dreams a reality, helping other people, supporting other dreamers around the globe. So today, I really want to welcome our special guest, Phoenix, to the show. Welcome.
Fake applause. Woo! Thank you for having me. What's up, Dave? What's up, Type 88?
It's good to have
Shout
you.
out to StereoCo.com.
It's good to have you here. So, for anyone who doesn't know, I know maybe let people know where you started, because I know you took a little bit of a journey recently, but maybe you could let us know where you kind of found music and where you're from and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, my story is like typical but not typical. I grew up in the church. But unlike a lot of people, the black story of like growing up in a church, I grew up Catholic. I didn't grow up in like the Baptist traditional, like Pentecostal type of church. I grew up Catholic. So although I was exposed to like traditional gospel and soul music, I was also introduced to classical music and music in other languages like Italian and those different languages, because the Catholic religion interprets in different languages. So I was exposed to some more traditional music as well as gospel and soul, and I think that has kind of shaped and directed my path of being kind of like the non-gendered artist who kind of has a lot of different influences, but you can't really pinpoint what that influence is. And then from that, I became a professional songwriter straight out of high school, which was a very interesting lifestyle, just being exposed to and having access to so many different things from so young. And then from that, I went into singing professional background for a lot of independent artists and a lot of really talented people, like Yummy Bingham and Little Eddie, to name a few. And then I ended up in a rock soul band for a while. So I did that and I got to travel. And then in 2016, after doing all of these things for other people, I decided it was time to invest in myself. And I started to release my own music as well as document it. So I have a docu-series as well that documents it. And what you were talking about earlier, my latest project is myself again. And I traveled on a road trip from New York City all the way to Los Angeles.
So that's a lot, right there, just to kind of, but that's it really shows that you're someone who's dedicated your life to this. You've been about the
That's
music
a fact.
since early, and here you are, you're taking that dream trip that so many New Yorkers dream of, and here you are, you're in your new home. I feel like wherever you go, you make home just because of your vibe and the way you're very open arms and you're very open-minded and collaborative. So where I'm sure wherever you could have went to Alaska and made it feel like Cali, but you took the trip out there. So how's it feel to just be out there now? Of course, the weather is always mostly nice out there, and
Right.
I feel to be out there now.
It's kind of surreal. I have wanted to do this, I'm gonna say, since like 2013, 2014. So it's literally just me procrastinating for years and like fake fear in your head. A lot of our fears are not actually tangible. They're just things that we come up with in our head to psych ourselves out of making, really important integral decisions. So it's just really surreal. Like as the days go by, it's a little realer because I add things to where I live or I put things places, but I'm still like some days I wake up and I'm like, I'm really in LA. Like it's still very surreal to me. And I'm also in this space of like enjoying it and being as present as possible because I can be very analytical and overthink a lot of things. But I'm even considering like maybe moving again, but not so much, you know, like making someplace my home, but also realizing that a part of my purpose may be to move around and go different places, not only for myself, but for the people I need to come in contact with. So like along this road trip, I paid attention to the places that felt comfortable for me, like naturally, organically, and Nashville was one of those places. Mm. And I got an email this morning, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in life presenting opportunities. I have an opportunity to apply for a scholarship to a school in Nashville. And I don't know if that's an omen, but I'm going to apply and see what happens. So I may be in Nashville in another year.
I feel like, you know, when God gives us these gifts and we embrace them, we find ourselves in all these different places. And it's, you know, no matter what we envisioned growing up or whatever, yeah, and even if you're like, hey, I'm living the dream, I'm out in LA, but I feel like when you got a gift, sometimes you can't just share it exactly where you are. You're called to other places. And I always say, when you got a calling, pick that shit up, you know. Don't we pick up phone calls to numbers we don't know, but sometimes people don't answer their calling. So for you to,
that's a whole word right there. That's a sermon, Dave.
So for you that's to see dream. That and answer it, I think that's fire, you know, just because certain things like that, it's like, oh, let me get ready. But sometimes something happens and you just got to kind of jump in the ready mode and just, you know, adapt and move with it. And so that's awesome.
That's so interesting you say that, because that's literally like, to me, the omen for my life is like, so many people around me, they will tell me they're not going to do something because they want to be prepared for it. And I feel like life is this constant battle and discerning factor of like, am I not doing this because I'm not prepared, or am I not doing this because I'm scared? And I think a lot of times we're always leaning to one or the other. Like, yeah, a part of it could be you're not totally prepared, but you might be prepared enough to still take the opportunity, and it may be fear holding you back. Mm. Or you may not be scared as much, but you know in your heart that you're not really prepared as much. And so you're like, I don't want to ruin this opportunity by taking it when I'm not prepared. And so life has always put me in this position of like, I've never had the opportunity to have everything together. I've never really felt like that. And so in this time, I think that's what LA represents for me, is like working smarter and not harder, and realizing that productivity has nothing to do with quantity. It has to do with quality. And so that's really where I'm at in my life, really trying to make sure, even if I do less, everything that I do is so quality that it manifests other opportunities regardless, because the intention I put into those few things did what it was supposed to do. So
that's the truth right there. I always think, you know, I always think of Nas's Illmatic, right? Like, if you think about it, how many, there were only like 9-10 songs on there, but he just brought, you know, he brought the quality to it. And so there you go. That's exciting. You never know where you're going to be, but I think it's true. An opportunity knocks, answer that door. And
well, I'll tell you the interesting thing. I'll let you in on it, right? So I'm in this weird space of like not speaking about things all the time and just kind of letting it happen, but I feel the need to share. So the irony, and I don't believe in coincidences again, so when I say irony, I say it sarcastically, the irony of the situation is that I have never felt, this is like a transparent moment, I have not felt like the quality of a lot of my music has been to the caliber that I want it to be, because I had access to a certain level of engineers and producers as a songwriter that I didn't get as an artist. Mm-hmm. And so the quality of certain things, it was a casualty. This particular opportunity in Nashville is not, it's not funny to me because it's in Nashville, even though that's where I said would probably be the next place I went. It's funny to me because the opportunity is for engineering. Mm. And that's really the omen for me, is that I feel like that's the universe telling me, you have basically done everything else for yourself but mix your own records. And that's probably what could be holding you back, because you need to be able to verbalize and express, even if you allow other people to do it, you need to know how to communicate that to them, because only you understand the sound you're going for. And so that's why I'm going to go after the opportunity, because it's like, not only is it where I said I would want to live, but it's also for the one thing that probably could make or break my career at this point. It's me being able to engineer my own records.
That's dope.
Isn't that crazy?
I feel like you're engineering your life too. You're like, all right, you know, we tweak this, adjust this. It's like you're constantly growing, and you're like perfect, you're like mastering, kind of, just, you can't master life like you got it down to a science, but you can master yourself. Like, if you know what's important, you know you need food in the morning, you know you got to work out. It's like you're doing things that are helping you grow. And you're like, all right, I want to learn this. I'm going to tune this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to add auto tune to this. So that's real.
And also just being wise, like, I'm rebranding. And so for like the last month or so, not right really now, but when I first got here, I went through like this funeral phase.
What kind of phase?
Because you, like, Kusa says, okay, a funeral phase.
Yeah.
I say funeral to say, like, I put a lot of work and time in. And so taking down my music and taking stuff down and taking videos off, you know, it kind of feels like a death. It feels like a loss, like a breakup. And like, you know, everybody, you know, on the logical side, they're like, yeah, but you learned a lot and this isn't a loss, it's a lesson. And in theory, that sounds good. But when you've spent thousands of dollars on music videos, and music and releases and cover pictures and photo shoots, performances, and now you just say, okay, I'm gonna take all of that down and start over from scratch. In theory, yeah, that's the mature thing to do, but I'm still human, you know? And so it's like my babies, like relationships.
I feel you.
Just like breaking up. I had to, you know, make peace with the fact that those were stepping stones, and they were stepping stones to something better. And so I had to, you know, I had to let it go. And have a phase with being okay with that. And so now I'm coming out of that and I'm like, okay, I've let that go. What can I do moving forward to make sure I don't have to feel this again?
So. Now what's cool, you have it. It's still there. You know, you have it in your hard drive, and I understand. And it's like, we do create art to share it, but it's also cool. I always say, when you create something or you let it out, it gives you, you lose that weight almost. It's like we hold these thoughts, hold these dreams and goals and like creations. And for me, it weighs me down in a good way, and also maybe bad too. Cause it's like, all right, if I can't put this out. So it's like, like you kind of letting it go, but you're giving you're giving room for the next stuff to come in.
I totally feel you
because it's like you want certain things, you want to change, you want to update, you want to make sure things match and connect with what you're doing. So I feel that too, though, because it is emotional.
And like, you know, when I was a songwriter, that wasn't a social media phase, right? And so what I mean by that is, like, a lot of times I walk into rooms where people will try to discredit me or my achievements, because when I told you I was at Daddy's house, or I used to work in Quad Studio, I don't have an Instagram or Facebook that I could show you photos of when I was in those rooms. All I have is the people who were there that could attest to that. And a lot of those people are super big songwriters now, you know, like I see them in passing, but we're not speaking on a regular basis for me to call them and go, let this person know that I was in the room with you in 99 recording for Identity Kane. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have those tangible things. So I think a part of that FOMO is like, these things that I put out are tangible. these are the, this is the proof that I have really been putting the work in since 2016, you know, and a lot of people think, you know, success is overnight, but a lot of us have been doing this over 10 years. A lot of people you see pop came out 4 times and people didn't receive them. Even down to her, like her name is Gabby Wilson. Gabby Wilson was a whole artist before her.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If that, that recipe didn't work, she went back to the drawing board and got with some people who got her vision, and then they re-released her and that worked. So like, you know, but she's been doing this since she was a little girl. Like y'all are seeing the grown woman, but that is a, that is years of investment and years of practicing and studying. And that's why it seems so seamless and so effortless for her, because she's perfected her craft. And so, you know, that I think was the attachment to me being like, oh, I don't want to take myself down. Like, you know, an internal fight is like, how do I prove to these people that I've been doing it this long? And it's like, it's really not about them at all. You know, it's not about them. It's about me putting that 10,000 hours in. Because even for myself now, you know, writing, I don't write as much because I write a lot more with intention. But even now, when I, even down to writing like rhymes, it's so like, and this is being very humble, but it's coming out so fire. And I'm like, I know it's coming out this fire because I've done 10,000 hours, not because I'm that dope. You know what I mean? It's not an ego thing. It's literally the blood, sweat, and tears and the disappointment and, you know, the respect. A lot of it, I want to be successful because I want to make money. Nobody wants to be homeless. But I do this for the respect, you know, more than anything. That's what I want.
That's the foundation. You know, that's, you grew up, you have respect for certain artists, and it's like you, I feel you. That's one of the true currencies that we don't talk too much about, but I feel like it's so key. And it gets you everything else. Like everything else just flows when you could reach out to someone and be like, yeah. You know, recently I collabed with family members of the Wu, and it was like the sons of, you know, the dynasty right there. And but that, it started with respect. It wasn't just a money thing, or like, it was like,
well, cloud thing. Right.
It was just the flow. It was just the flow.
That's funny. That's one of the last events I went to before COVID. It was the Wu-Tang art exhibition. That's interesting.
So, yeah, and so I feel you. The respect is everything, because it's like, you lose that, you can't just call someone and be like, hey, let's do this.
Right.
Like, the respect is really the foundation. So I feel you. And, you know,
and sometimes respect will get you opportunities that money can't buy, because sometimes you'll be working with somebody who doesn't need anything from you. And really, they're doing something for you. But because they respect what you're doing, you know, even this opportunity I got with you, like, I love J. Rose. I love Jazz. But me putting the work in, she nominated me for something that I didn't even know about, you know, and it opened so many other doors for me. But she consistently says to me, like, you're always working. You're always grinding. You don't beg, and you're not forceful. You just show up and you do what needs to be done. And whoever's for you is for you. And that's literally been how my life goes. Like, I'm in the final phase of, like, I don't chase anything. I attract everything that I need. And I literally say that to myself every day. And it stands for everything: love, success, career, money. I don't chase, I attract. I don't chase, I attract. And that's literally the path I'm on forever. Mm.
I love it. It's true. And and I think you're really telling us the building blocks of you and, you know, the respect. I don't chase, I attract. It's built off that, like, just real foundation, and, you know, the honest, and you know the grind. You know, you've been living this for over a decade, truly putting your life into it, and it shows. And it's great.
And learning too, you know, because, like, I know these things because I made bad decisions. Like, I learned from my own ego and my own, you know, wanting to think I knew everything. And then I realized like some opportunities were presented to me that I didn't take advantage of because I wasn't ready. And I think a lot of people don't take that into consideration too. Like, you may think you're ready, but sometimes you are not. And I know that had I had some of the opportunities that I've had earlier or that I'm gonna have, I would have ruined them. Or I would have self-sabotaged and I would have ended up doing something that would have made it worse and I wouldn't even have been able to come back to it. So, you know, just kind of learning from your mistakes too, it builds a lot of integrity if you're smart and you realize, you start to notice your patterns, you can catch yourself, you know.
I agree. I always say, when I get older and I'm a grandfather, if I, you know, I ever get blessed with that day, I want to learn more from my grandkid than they learn from me, you know, and I feel like I'll have all this wisdom, I'll have all this stuff to say, but I never want to see someone that's younger or like just starting off in the world and be like, oh, well, they don't know. I can't, there's nothing.
Right.
Like, for me, I don't care if you're 7 or 70. It almost sounds like the camera on. I don't care if you're 5, 3 feet or 8.
Right.
Feet.
Right.
I'm going to learn from you straight up. And whenever I go to a class and I go to teach, I always start sitting next to the kids. And I'm like, hey, I'm sitting with you because not only here am I here to teach you something, but I want to learn from you too. And I think you just got to be a student of the game. And that's just a wonderful way to look at it, Phoenix.
That's a fact.
So I see you recently dropped something new. So maybe let's get into it or talk about it real quick.
Yes.
You got the new video for Easy.
I co-wrote this with a really dope songwriter named Munchie. I was working on my original EP. I didn't release the EP because I wasn't happy with it. Engineering. You see how we come back to the one? You see how life is a constant lesson? I did not like all the engineering on the project, so I didn't release it. And I was singing, you know, like I'm a singer, national singer-songwriter. And she was like, you're not going to rap on the project at all. And rapping was kind of like this silent little secret talent I had. I didn't do it publicly. I did it with my songwriting friends and like family and stuff. And I come from the spoken world and era too. So that's, you know, highly influenced in my rapping. But she was like, you're not going to rap on the entire project. And I was like, no, not really. And she was like, yes, you are. And so we ended up co-writing this song together. And it's really, it's a culmination of both of our experiences, like, just, you know, growing up as Black women in the inner city and, you know, not fitting certain aesthetics and not fitting certain types, stereotypes, pun intended, not fitting certain stereotypes and still like pursuing a music career, even though it wasn't easy. And even though, you know, people kind of passive aggressively try to make you feel less than, try to be condescending, you know, but when they heard the music or when they heard the playback, you know, the energy was different, you know, because the talent is there, it's undeniable. And so it was a really dope, you know, she spoke from her perspective, but she spoke a lot from my perspective. And I think that's what makes a great record and also a great songwriter, is being able to tell your story and somebody else's story, especially if it's similar, and convey a message. And, you know, it talks about some heavy things, but the concentration of the concept is not about how hard life is. It's the fact that no matter how hard life gets, we can find a way to overcome those obstacles, because too much whom is given, much is required, basically.
So let's get into it. Let's drop it for everybody.
Okay.
So here we go. We got Easy Street. Let's bring this up. Oh,
We used to kick it, dark blocks and long bridges, beatbox and staircase and no filter. They told me I would never make it, go figure. But here I am, I had to take a chance and roll with it. No sleep, gang, for weeks. Studio flows with it. See, in this life, you either get it or you don't get it. What you know about the difference between your wants and your needs of following all your dreams when they just don't feel it? Cause they don't see your vision, so they don't care to listen. This for the artists hopping trains to make it to the session. Could have been the lost one, so talented, no direction. Ain't no easy street. I've been through a lot, but still I fight what comes at me. Why give up? Why keep running? Don't look back. Keep on pushing. They're still looking. Keep on trying. Won't be easy, but you got it. It ain't no easy street. It ain't no easy street, but I know that I can make it. You're feeling worthless, kids bad, house dirty. Where the daddy? You rather be in the club twerking. Them kids don't know they ABCs, but bet they know they curses. We gotta do better, people. Teach the kids they worthy. I'm from that city that can fly with that tax money. When the rent is due, they gotta act PA for money. Shrimp and lobster for your girls. Rhyming for your sonny. Only thing that dude is good for is to keep you coming. I just look up praying to God that joy comes in the morning. Looking for better skies. Cause yo, it's mighty foggy. This ain't an easy lane to walk, but on my life, I'm walking. Ain't no easy street. I've been through a lot, but still I fight what comes at me. Why give up? Why keep running? Don't look back. Keep on pushing. They're still looking. Keep on trying. Won't be easy, but you got it. It ain't no easy street. It ain't no easy street, but I know that I can make it.
Easy street.
Hey.
Easy street. Shout out to Revival Records for the video. Interesting story about that video is that I won that video, actually. So I took myself on my own tour. Shout out to So Far Sound. In 2019, I did a 5-city tour. Hey. With So Far Sound, from New York, Baltimore, D.C., Boston, and Atlanta. And so I kind of, D.C., they called me back about 3 times. Baltimore, I went there twice. So some of those states I did more than once. But when I was in Boston, what I started doing is like I would do day trips, right? Which people thought I was crazy for doing. So I wasn't even staying in these states overnight. I was going for the day and I was back home by the morning. And when I would take some of my friends who were musicians with me, it's like to play for me, I would go to like little open mics after, because I'd be like, you know, I kind of felt bad taking artists with me who were artists to perform after me, like behind me. So I would try to find open mics and places to go where they could rock out and you could perform, you know, just as friends. And so in Boston, I stumbled upon this open mic called the Lizard Lounge in Boston, which I found out was like a famous open mic and like the top tier best songwriters and like instrumentalists from all over Boston would come. I walked into a competition. I didn't know it was a competition. I really just signed up to perform. Ended up making the grand finale. I got invited back a couple months later. And when I came back, I won. And when I came back and I won, it was like, it was against like 18 people. It was a lot. And all those people were super talented. Like this competition made me sweat because Boston is literally a city. It's Berkeley. You understand what I'm saying? Berkeley is in Boston. So it's a city of people who genuinely, they don't care about being famous. They don't care about politics. They just want to make music. So I had to work. and a part of the prize was $500. It was a radio interview. And it was a video. Yay. And that video, I chose to record YouTube. So that's how things come full circle.
Hey, that's dope. Yeah. It was real. It was honest. Uncut. I was feeling it.
Thank you. Thank you for watching.
And you know, you see the title Easy Street, but it's like it ain't no easy street. It's not gonna be easy, but you gotta just keep going. And that was dope.
Thank you. Shout out to Munchie for that one. Appreciate it.
So you know, you've just been on your grind. It's just so cool to really, you know, connect with you. The internet is just an amazing place. Shout out once again to Jay Rose for connecting us.
Yeah,
like, we wouldn't have even have connected without the homie. So shout
out.
Yes,
my humble thoughts on Instagram. Please go check her out. He does a lot of open mics and different things for spoken word artists. He's really a pioneer of spoken word artists for me. But she's always creating avenues and showing people love. And I really hope that the universe takes her back tenfold because she's definitely been a blessing since the day I met her.
Yeah, she's a great kid. I'm really, I'm happy I know her. And because of her, you know, I know you. And here we are. Right. And we only connected a few months ago, but it was really awesome. You know, once you won Dreamer of the Month, it was like, all right, let's work on something. And I remember we had some amazing conversations of just like what matters and, you know, talking about how you grew up loving music. And it was like, and it was when we were talking, it was like, oh man, you know, she has so much to bring to this. And she has, you know, she loves this and she's about this and this. And I remember we were talking about one song and I was like, oh, this, it was something about, what was it?
Rise.
Like, oh, this is perfect. You know, like, and I was like hooked on it. Cause I was like, oh, perfect. Her name's Phoenix. And I already had all these ideas, but then you were like, you know, but that song, it's kind of in the past. I'm working on this one. And this is the one that matters the most to me right now, and I really want to spread that message. And at first it was like, I was like, damn, where do we even go with this, you know, because there was so much to, you know, there was so much.
There's a lot. I know.
So I was like, how do I unpack this and put it in, how do we put this in a way where we could put all that in one place, right? Because I was like, we may need like 20 shirts for all the things he's about and their messages. But then it was like, oh, you know, and then like these dots started connecting. And then when you said outside the box, and then I listened to the tracks and I was like, oh shit, you know, like it was just a special, I think we had so many cool convos and we talked a lot. And, you know, and with, I wanted to shout you out because Dreamers of the Month, when we met, it was during a real crazy time for me. It was like holiday season and I like never got hit that hard before. And I was just like trying to catch up with everything. But I remember you, something that was really special about you, you would just hit me up during the day and be like, yo, you know, what up? Check this out. And then you would always send me these references and these tracks. And it just kind of kept me motivated because I always wanted to, I wanted to do the collab, but I was like, there was just so much going on and I really wanted to give it my effort, you know, as much effort as I could. But, and you just kept sending me little sparks like, hey, check this out. I think you may like this. Oh, check this out. And they all just piled up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, about a month or two ago, you know, Outside the Box is here. The merch, you've had the song out for a while.
It is.
So shout out to you, because I've been literally printing them like all day. People all over
Thank the country you.
Been supporting. And
I really appreciate that. I do. And I appreciate you for just lending your services. Like, I had took my chance with the merch thing on my own, and I was printing out buttons through another company, but I wasn't really selling it. And the reason I wasn't selling it is because it's just, you know, being an artist and doing so many things, it's so hard to stay on top of everything. And so, like, people are like, why are you not selling these buttons? And I'm just like, oh, I'd rather give them away. But, you know, everything, even in your mind, you don't even know you're setting things up to manifest on their own. And so, you know, I was just happy. Dream of the Month. It's just nice to be recognized by people to let you know that people are watching your efforts and that you're not working tirelessly for nothing. So, like, that was dope in itself. But then to really get a merch, you know, the reason I picked this song, too, wasn't that I didn't like the other songs. This is my most popular record. And this is a record that the people chose. And so I had to put my marketing hat on and go, like, I could choose a bunch of different things. I got sayings today, I'm a writer. So I could go through my notebook and pull out five different slogans that would have been dope. But what's going to resonate with the people? What do they want to embrace? What do they want to push? And so I know that song was my second single. And that is a song even on gigs. If my friends are hosting, that is what they asked for me to perform. So whether I liked it or not, or if it's my favorite song or not, it doesn't matter at this point, because the message is so much bigger. And I think me just always embracing the fact that I was different and not hiding it and kind of pushing it in your face, I think people appreciate that. And that's why the message resonates with people, because it's like, if you're going to say you outside the box, then stay there and be that. And embody that. And, you know, because when you try to be anything other than yourself, it doesn't read well to people anyway. And people can sniff an inauthentic person easily. And you won't get far anyway, because people can tell when you're not being true to yourself. So, and then I just, you know, also as well, you know, it's a non-gendered kind of thing for me too as well. I feel like men could be outside the box, women could be outside the box, kids can be outside the box. Elderly can be out, you know, we all have quirks and little things about ourselves that make us different. And the more that we learn to love those things, the more people love us for those things. So
I love it. And it was cool because it made me think outside the box too, because I was like, when you told me Rise, I was like ready to go. Like, I was like, oh, this is such a perfect title. And then you were like, well, you know, outside the box though. And I'm like, how do we even like share this message?
And right.
And then we just kind of were like, I was like, yo, send me 40 emojis. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just kept hitting me. And I'm like, okay. I was like, and then I was like, how do we put this all together? And it just all came together. And it's a design that just, it makes me feel youthful. You know, and it just makes me embrace like just youth, you know, you just see so many things and each thing you think of something else, but it like collectively comes in one place, which I love about like design and art, you know, like so many things could be happening, but then it's like, it says that one thing.
Right. And I think also like, even just like, the dice and like the alien and like the wave, like I feel like you naturally kind of get what it's saying, even with the combination of photos. And I think what's even doper too is like music and fashion are the two things that transcend language. So like, even if I couldn't speak to you and you spoke a different language, you would know what this shirt was saying. Yeah. Like, you would be able to figure out what message I was conveying from it. So I think that that's also really dope too, as far as like art interpretation is open, but everybody will walk away from this feeling something, and that thing is a good thing, period.
Real talk.
Yeah.
So yeah, the design is and the collab, it means a lot, and it just
and I'm excited to be your first crop top.
It's true. Yeah, we people have always been like, hey, could we get more lady cuts for the or just people, you know, some dudes like crop tops too, and you know,
a lot of gym buff guys like crop tops for the gym.
So people just in general been like, hey, can you drop more of a crop top cut? And you so here we are, you know, outside the box, and only made sense. I was like, we've never really dropped crop tops, but people are really supporting, and so shout out to you for making me think out or pushing me to go outside the box with some of what I've done.
Unintended. Yeah. And all right, so the thing with the crop tops too for me is like, it's a personal thing. I don't know if you know, but I used to be 294 pounds in 2015. So when I first lost weight, even when I was a bigger girl, I've always had like a really nice midsection. And so when I first lost the weight, you know, and I had my new body, that was the thing I loved to do. I would wear crop tops, you know, all the time, flat stomach, you know, I finally got here. And so my friends would like jokingly call me queen of the crop top. Here we go, queen of the crop top, you know what I mean? And so jokingly, one of my friends said that to me about a year or two ago. He was like, yeah, when you finally make that merch, you might as well make crop tops since you're always wearing them. And so, like, when I got in contact with you, I was like, I got to ask him if this is possible, you know, just to be funny and put insult to injury. I'm really going to make crop tops. And on top of that, a lot of merch is socks and hoodies. And I'm a summer baby. My birthday is in July. So I needed to make merch that I could rock the rest of the year, just in case people wanted to hit me with the slick, oh, well, that stuff is too hot for that. Oh, no, it's not. We have t-shirts and we have crop tops. You can rock through the spring and the summer. Thank you very much. So my merch is year-long merch. Hey. How you like me now? You won't get out of this one.
So, yeah. So once again, awesome. I love the design. I love, you know, the process and just, you know, connecting. And it was a challenge to me. You know, when I do collabs with someone, I always want it to be memorable. But then it's right. Like when we don't know each other and then we want to make kind of like something magical, we kind of, it's like going on a, it's going, like I always say, it's like a blind date. Like you don't know who you're going to meet. And so to me, it's like, okay, how do I ask her every, like, how do I learn about her? How do I learn what matters to her and everything that she's about? And so when we first connected, that was my goal, you know, and because we never had a vibe before that, it wasn't like, and we had to start from scratch of just even getting to know each other about like merch and artistry and stuff like that. So,
and I know I drove you crazy with the artwork, but I wanted to make it perfect because I wanted to make it unisex. And I was like, no, you know, I have some non-gendered friends, and I'm, you know, just the age that we're going into, I really want to be very aware and very sensitive to the needs of everybody. And I didn't want to make anything that was so inclusive that somebody would feel uncomfortable with the piece or not want to wear it because it was too overtly feminine or too overtly masculine. So I wanted to make this really symbolic balance that being a other is other, and whatever that signifies to you, whether that's female other, male other, or they, my brand is for you. And so that's why I wanted to make sure it was so very particular, and the feedback I've been getting from men has been great, which means that we accomplished what my goal was, which they love the design as well. And so that's what I was really trying to push. I know my ladies will support me, especially with the crop top. But the fellas, I wanted them to feel represented in this image as well. So that was important to me. And so that's why I was so anal, just let you know.
I'm all about it. That for me, it's always let's figure it out and solve the problem. And the problem right. was, we started with a few little things, and then we were like, oh, and then we learned from it, and we grew from. And it was like, all right, this or this. This I'm always like this or this, because
right.
And then when it wasn't this, it was the other one, and it's all good. I appreciate how hands-on you were, and being like, hey, no, let's change this. Let's make sure this, because we did have an alien, and then we had a one. You know, we had. Like a dude and a girl, but then we were like, hey, let's switch some, you know, we made it make sense to be as, I always want everything to be as universally show love as much as possible. So
right.
mission accomplished right there.
Yes. And I'm excited about it. I started my promo run. As I told you, I'm waiting for my next packages. I'm actually going to get some merch today on the end of tonight. Because the next round is my roommates. I got all of them modeling for me. I already told them a month ago. So I'll have some models, and I have a lot of my supporters sending me in photos. So I got some good photos too. If you want some, I'll send them to you.
Please. Yeah.
My supporters rocking the merch. So I'm excited. I feel like coming into like this next season, things are about to go up now. And I did a photo shoot myself the other day. I posted some of the photos you saw, but I have some other ones I haven't posted that I'll send to you. I did a couple yoga poses and stuff. So
I appreciate everything. You know, I just appreciate your who you are and what you're about. And it's really been, I've learned a lot through our collab, and it's just so refreshing for me, you know, just we didn't even know each other 3 months ago, you know, and, you know, now you're like one of my friends, you know, we've talked about
the homie.
Like friend conversations about life and figuring stuff out and like dealing with the ups and downs and certain things, both of us. And
right.
I'm grateful, you know, just we connected, and I'm grateful that people are connecting with everything. And it just makes sense. You know, you're super dope. And
thank you.
And it's cool, you know, we were going to do the interview for anyone who doesn't know. Of course, they just see the interview, but, you know, we just kind of flowed with it. We were going to meet up later and do the interview, but you got a show in like an hour or so, right?
Right, yeah.
I know this will air after your show, but that's just dope. You know, we made it work. So that's just exciting. I hope you have a dope show, wherever it is.
Yes, I'm up to Rob doing his, Rob May. He's releasing his project tonight, RPG, and I'm hosting. So I get to host the album release party via Zoom. So I'm going to post a flyer on my Instagram, y'all, PhoenixRocks_, and pull up and meet somebody new. He also does video editing, audio engineering, so he has many talents as well. So, yeah, this has been fun. I appreciate you again for extending your company and your resources and helping me make a vision come to life. I'm excited about this. And I look forward to some other things, because I feel like we might end up working again on something else. As I said, I'm rebranding. So over this summer coming into the fall, I'll be like making brand new music and releasing brand new stuff. And so I feel like we could pull up, pop out a little hoodie. Or, you know what I want to do? Hopefully like some socks. I would love to design some socks. I think that would be fire.
I was thinking that too.
Like that. Yeah.
I feel like
I'm down with it. And I had a couple of people ask me for children's clothes. So I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe like a little kitty top, a hoodie or something like that.
Yo. So. All right. So anything.
You have kids, wanted? So yeah. Anything? I have a lot of relationships with a lot of kids. Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for outside the box to bubble up a little bit more, but I got some other ideas. And I'm excited for what's to come. The promo is going to start getting crazier as the weeks go by. Because that's all I'm going to be pushing for a while. Since I'm rebranding, I won't really be promoting too much music. I'll be like dropping little stuff on SoundCloud. If you're following me, you'll see that stuff on my SoundCloud, Phoenix Rocks. But if you are not, there will not be anything else being released on major platforms. So it's all about the merch right now. I'm rocking with the merch. Fully focused, fully locked in.
that's real. I'm looking forward to seeing the new stuff and the new stuff you roll out. So let me just pull up your site real quick. What's the best link for people to connect with you, would you say?
I would say you could go on my YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube. If you want to connect with me, just hit me up on Instagram. And my contact information is in my bio, my emails and everything. If you want to holler at me, I'm not bougie as Dave. I'm nice.
I'll pull it up just so people could connect.
Appreciate you.
So let's share.
Everything is Phoenix Rocks across the board, so we good to go. I have deactivated some of my social media for a while, but I'll be back. So I have a Phoenix Rocks page on Facebook and on Twitter as well for all of you who may not be on Instagram. I have more other platforms. I'm just taking a break. I'm actually going to reactivate it for this promo run for the merch. So top of the month of May, I'll be opening my page back up, but I will only be working from my artist pages. So my Facebook artist page, which is Phoenix Rock, and my Twitter, Phoenix Rock. So holla at me, guys, and copy some merch and take a photo and tag me so I can post you up on the gram.
Yeah, make sure to support. Here's her Insta. You could connect with all her links right here. And to the merch, everything else, YouTube. I know you got a docu-series that you're working on.
Yes, it's called Bamboo the Rockumentary.
Okay.
The Phoenix Rock. So it's all together.
So yeah, the link's in the bio, and it brings you to all the different stuff right here, and then right here, and then all the streaming and the YouTube and everything else. So make sure to connect.
And the merch is right at the bottom.
So yes,
sir.
Phoenix, you're always welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Time flew. I feel like we could do probably one of these a week just with the amount of stuff we could both talk about. So you're definitely welcome back.
You're curating a little podcast idea. I'm not introducing it yet, but I will have a podcast I think I'm going to do bi-weekly soon coming up. So I'll let you know about that too off camera.
That's dope. So yeah, shout out to everyone around the globe that's outside the box.
Stay out.
So maybe before we run, for anyone, just say, we grow up, right? And like, we kind of hit a moment. It's great seeing you because, you really embrace who you are.
Right.
But sometimes I feel like there's this, even now we're still learning about ourselves day to day, but sometimes there's that moment where maybe we're not completely comfortable with ourselves, or maybe we're outside the box, but we think we're too outside the box, or we want to stay in the box because it's scary outside the box. Like, what would you kind of tell someone that, they may be in the box, but they kind of want to break outside the box?
That happiness is a choice and it's a journey. And every time that you deny yourself being who you are, you're denying a little bit of your own happiness. And that job is a personal job. It's an inside job. And so being true to who you are is not always the easiest job, but it's the most fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And I would rather be fulfilled with few than complacent with many. And so that's what I would say. The road to really accepting and embracing who you are is a road to fulfillment. And so those who matter don't mind, and those who mind never matter. And that's what I would leave you with.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Everybody else, I hope you walk away with something from this that helps you embrace yourself and your uniqueness a little bit more. Stay outside the box. That's what I'm going to do.
So, guys, thank you again for tuning in. Type 88. Make sure to connect with my friend Phoenix Rocks on all socials. Check out the Outside the Box collection. And don't stop dreaming.